Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
Like, where do you go when the world's in a state of flux? When the world is kind of going completely mad, what do you do? I don't know about you. I've watched with a little bit of bemusement, and I want to be careful as well, because like if I was to stand up in front of you today and say, "Do you know what we're going to do, folks? Today I've got this really phenomenal series on the Levitical offerings and Jesus in the ark." Okay, you'd probably look at me and go, "Are you bonkers, mate? I mean, draw the lines for me here as to what God says about what's going on right now." Isn't that right? And it was interesting that we're going to talk just for a couple of weeks on Psalm 91, because it's like whenever the world is going crazy and the world is responding in fear, because I'll tell you what it is, it's just fear, right? And fear, when fear takes hold, it's not even rational. All right. So, but we're not even rational. Okay. We might be in this world, but we're not off this world. The Lord says that we're seated somewhere entirely different this morning. You might be physically sitting here in East Belfast, but you're actually seated with Christ this morning. I'm going to talk about that and why that matters to you. And that's just not talk. That's actually the truth, because when we are confronted with that which we cannot deal with naturally, all right? Because let me tell you something. Right now, the world has absolutely no answers, really. Okay. There's a bit of a bet, you know. Can I just really encourage you? Stay away from social media. I have never seen such a cesspit of villainy and nonsense in all of my days. You know, I'm not being funny, but Aggie from Doncaster, who has only ever been to hospital to get her tonsils out, is now an expert in the transmission of viruses. And then good people like you and me are listening to this nonsense, you know, and kind of going, really? I mean, some of us just need to be careful what we're setting our eyes to, what we're setting our hearts to, and what we're giving our attention to. And whilst the Lord says to apply wisdom, he also says that, you know, this is a time for faith and to believe. All right? And if the world does not see, right now, if the world does not see something different in Jesus and his church, all right, we may pack up and go home. All right? Honestly. Because if there is no, and I'm going to show you from the word this morning, there is a huge difference. There is a massive difference. This is not reading a piece of scripture over your life like some kind of incantation. You know, like rubbing a lucky rabbit's foot or, you know, is that right? Or rabbits? I don't know either. Rabbit's feet are, yeah, apparently lucky, right? So if you've got, you know, take your hands out of your pockets, stop rubbing your rabbit's feet, okay? And, you know, all the rest of it. Because there is such a sure place for you to stand today, all right? Such a sure foundation where we can all just calm down, all right, and go, what is actually Jesus saying about what is going on right now? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Do we get that? As he is, so are we. We are not the same as the world. I'm going to show you that from scripture this morning. And if you have got fear in your heart, I'm not knocking it, all right? But I'm just saying, like, lift your heads up this morning, because we'll go to the word and we'll find comfort, strength, encouragement, exhortation, and faith when the word comes. Now, remember, I said to you, you can see how God has knits things together. A few weeks ago, I think it was a month ago, maybe, certainly in 2020, I said to you guys, you know, in one of my talks, I said, you've only got grace for today, right? You don't have grace. So as I was looking at... you know, I need to be careful because my mother's here this morning and she did phone yesterday to say, son, I'm in B&M, do you need toilet rolls, right? I went, aye, go ahead, all right? Do you go to the bathroom anymore because you've got the flu? I don't know. Anyway, it's random, isn't it? It is totally, it's not even like pasta and toilet rolls. Go figure. And you know what, there's people buying pasta who don't even like pasta. But they just feel like they need it because everyone else has got it and you don't want to be left out, all right? My dad hates pasta. So he's actually going, well, whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to be running out of the shops. He hates pasta. He turns his face up if you serve it to him, you know? So this is quite a good time for you, isn't it, Dad? It works out pretty well. But I think the truth of it is that I was sitting, you know, I was somewhere this week, one day, and, you know, this song kept coming to mind. And it's proper old school. You know that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord? You remember that one? All you oldies, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, Most High. Do, 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 do. flipping awful. It's absolutely awful. All right? Okay, everyone remember that? Yeah. Who remembers the chorus? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And one more time. Woo! The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Do you see with the kids? The righteous? The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Okay, so well done, all right? Wasn't too many misspent childhoods in this church, let me tell you. For a few people going, oh, I didn't know that. I was in the park drinking Bucky, all right? So, but here's the thing, right? I'm sitting with this going through my head, and the Lord said, actually, go and look at the verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. It says actually in the message that God's name always reveals his character. So let's take a really methodical, simple look at who Jesus is, who Jesus reveals himself to be, and for goodness sake, get your head and your heart onto who he is, what he has done, what he promises, and you will find that faith will rise in you, all right? And when love and faith rise, then fear goes, because there's no place for both. But God's name, every time God reveals his name, it reveals his character. And the thing about God is whenever his character is revealed, then he always is consistent with that. God cannot act inconsistently with the name that reveals who he is like. Do you get that? You and I can do it. I can say, I promise I won't do that, and I'll do it. I'll break my promise. So there's massive inconsistency in human beings, but there's absolutely complete perfection and consistency when it comes to the Lord. And way back in Exodus, he reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha, or Rophe, the God who heals. This is my name, God says. And so what we can see today, right, is God's name, and there's lots of names. I'm going to talk about a few names from Psalm 91, but God's name is really interesting. Every time you hear the name of God, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that's who you are. We sung it this morning, that is who you are. What is he? Who is he? How do we know? Well, we go to the Word, and he says, I'm your healer. But beyond that, he says, actually, I am your protector and I am your safe place. So, but I'll come to that in a minute. So God's name, the name of God, the healer, is a place of protection, it says here. The righteous, that's you and me. The righteous are not people who behave well. The righteous are people who have received Jesus. So if you've received Jesus today, can I just say that the name of God to you is consistent towards you? And there is a difference, listen to me, between people who know Jesus and people who don't. Can I just say, if you know Jesus, you are treated differently, okay, than people in the world today who are stockpiling up on Posada, all right? They are going to need the toilet roll if they go through all the Posada that they are stocking up on. Let's get real, all right? Maybe there's some wisdom in there. That's a whole lot of tomato. Do you know tomato? Anyway, do you know what I mean? But what it says here, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, okay? The righteous run into it. The righteous can go there. You and I can go to the name of God who says healer. And, you know, it says, and you, they are safe. Do you know what the word in Hebrew means? It means to be set, listen to this, I loved it. I thought, Lord, this is it, inaccessibly high. He actually lifts you up and sets you on a place where you are high to the point of being inaccessible. Isn't that good? So everything that comes your way, everything that comes to attack, whether it's airborne, whether it's surface-borne, whether it's whatever, the Lord says this morning, if you are righteous in Christ, under the unmerited favor of God himself, all right, he will lift you up to a place where you're inaccessible to that which will come to attack you. That's why he's a safe place, amen? Now, I love that. So that's what safe means. So there is a difference. This is what this covenant of grace, let me get stuck in. All right, if you have a Bible, open up to Psalm 91. Because we can't simply say that we're saved by faith and we're under grace, and then it makes no difference when stuff like this is going on. All right? But it makes absolutely no difference. There is a difference for us. All right? The world has no answer. Isolate yourself. All right? Stock up and bog roll and worry about tomorrow and worry about next week and worry about the weeks to come. But can I say to you, the revelation and the promise of Jesus and his finished work is for you right now for today, right? You don't need all the revelation of Jesus when you get to heaven. Why? Because you'll be with Jesus face to face. Whenever Jesus is revealed today, it's for today, not for some point in the future. I want you to have a greater understanding and revelation of Jesus today, his grace and his love, to make him bigger than anyone and anything else. And Psalm 91 is one of those most amazing prayers that is written for us for today. It is not a prayer of the, oh God, I hope so, all right? Fingers crossed, we might just get there. It's not a prayer of, oh God, I hope you have my back. I hope that everything will be all right. It is a prayer where God says, I am going to reveal my names, and if you receive that revelation of grace about who I am, you will be set inaccessibly high over everything that comes your way. Amen? Now, that's good news, isn't it? Flippin' Nora, that is good news. Thank you. So shall we read it together? Let's read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, that's COVID right there, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Amen. You'll only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. Listen, no plague will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways, right? You're coming in, you're going out, everything, all right? He will command those angels to stand over you and the ones that you love as you go in, as you go out, and nothing will come near you. Amen? Let's keep going. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I'll deliver him. I'll protect him because what? He knows my name. When he calls to me, I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll rescue him and I'll honor him. With long life, amen, everyone? With long life. What's everybody, you know, everybody is afraid. The only way they're going to run, they're going to die, most people, is the guts run out of them because of all the tomatoes they're eating. I'm convinced of it, all right? All right? I'll rescue him and honor him. With long life, I'm going to satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen, church. Let me just tell you this. God, here's my point, first point. God has always been the protector of his people. All right? From the very beginning, the heart of God was always that his people would be protected and looked after. Let me give you that from Scripture. Because the covenant of God's grace and love is about abundance and love and hope and joy and peace, but it's also about health, prosperity, and protection. And this is not a time, all right? And what I find really interesting, okay, is whenever people kind of rally against the gospel of grace, or they rally against teaching, right, that says that, you know, you can be, you know, fit and well, all right? And I'm not talking about people in the world. They're knocking themselves sideways right now to try and keep themselves safe. But isn't it funny that religion, when it's confronted with something which needs a supernatural covering of God's unmerited favor and grace and the nature and the character of God to be displayed as healer, that all of a sudden people start to change their tune, isn't it? Do you get me? That's why it's good to be grounded in this all the time. So when the waves start to come, you're not drowned. You stand firm, all right? Because of what God has put in you. But let me tell you, right back to the very beginning, Romans 5:10, it says this, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, all right? By the death of his son. Now listen to me, while you were an enemy, God went to the very furthest he could go by sacrificing Jesus for you. And that's when you weren't in saving in the meeting, you weren't giving your tithes, you weren't, you know, all of the stuff that we assume makes God love us more. He says, no, you were my enemy. And I went to the ends of the earth for you. Then listen to this. How much more now? Okay, now that you are saved, you're righteous, you're a son of Jesus, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? Can I tell you something? If God loved you so much that he would give everything when you were an enemy, he says, how much more now will I deliver you into what? Into salvation. The word sozo, it means to be delivered out of danger and into safety. Church, this is the truth of Jesus. How much more now that you're righteous will he deliver you out of danger and into safety? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. In Exodus 8:22, it said this, but on this day, this is what I tell you, God has always protected his people. Always protected his people. Always had his hand on them. And today, this is where you need to exercise some faith in who Jesus is. And say, Lord, if your word says this, then it's true. For in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen. Let me explain this. Where my people dwell, all right? So that no swarms of flies shall be there. Flies normally in the Bible represent Satan himself, okay? But it represents disease, represents pestilence, represents things that will destroy and carry stuff to the people of God, right? So in the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus, says the Lord, I'll put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. Now, let me tell you something. This is why if some of us have lost our edge around why people need to find Jesus, there is a difference to navigating the world with Jesus and without him. Where we need to be really careful is we don't adopt the mindset and the heart set and the view of people who don't know Jesus. Do you get that? By bombarding ourselves continually with some of the nonsense that we see. Now, we have to apply wisdom. And you see, somebody had made a point yesterday online, I believe, about, you know, some faith you people have, getting people to wash their hands, right? Some keyboard warrior, Donna from Doncaster, right? And to which we ignored it. But the point is to go, of course there's wisdom, all right? And that's why we're just applying wisdom. That's not about my faith, it's about people walking into the building. But there is a difference, and this is good news, all right? This is, when stuff goes like this, is why when you have Jesus, you have such an advantage. Why? Because the Lord said he would make a difference between people who are righteous and people who are not. God protects his people. Now, God loves everyone the same, but there are benefits to being a child of God. Do you get that? And what one of the things is, Goshen means to draw near. So in a place where God's people are near to him, right, he says that what he will do, he will dwell there in the midst of you. And he said that difference, right, will be the difference between the enemy attacking you, flies coming on you, and not. What's the only difference? The difference is the presence of Jesus. Can anyone point to me in the Bible whenever Jesus turned up, right, where he made people sick or that sickness had a chance in his presence? Can anyone help me with that? You're all going, I don't read the Bible, how would I know? Bible, remind me, I've heard about that one again. that was a wee dig. No, but seriously, see when we all calm down and we go, the Jesus that we're singing to, show me one place in the Word whenever sickness, disease was confronted with the Jesus himself. Now you carry that Jesus in you right now. Whenever you turn up, all right, you pour out Jesus everywhere around you. He comes out of your pores, for goodness sake, all right? There's nothing on your skin that's going to stand one bit of a chance against the presence of Jesus coming out of you, all right? Show me one place in the Word whenever death itself or sickness stood in the presence of Jesus and won. Every single time, sickness had to bow. The same Jesus you're singing to, the same Jesus you hope for, lives in you today, all right? Now, if you don't know Jesus, you can't say that. You take your chance with your ball growing your posada, all right? Because there is a difference between the people of God and people who are not. But I'm speaking to you today as the church to go, this is why the church matters. If the world could see today the hope that we have in us because of who Jesus and who he is, of course they would want to know more. Wouldn't they? Of course they would want to know more. Of course they would want to go, what is the difference? Because they, you realize when you see with people, and it is fear, but you go, what else do they have? Confronted with something which could rob them of everything in life. Okay, but we go, well, actually, you know, I felt this week when I was reading that wee bit of Exodus, I was going, I was telling myself, I'm different. Is that fair? No, the grace isn't fair. It's unmerited. Yeah. It's unmerited favor. I get up, you know, with my kids, to like Penny, we were traveling through airports last week and flights, and because they were canceling flights and they made the flights way more busy, so every seat taken, basically. And, you know, crazy, right? In the world's eyes, going, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, brother. Isolate yourself for 6 months. I actually quite like the thought of that. You know what I mean? You know that whole thing of, I had a wee fleeting moment of going, oh, Penny, have a week off. I need to book myself in somewhere for a month. See you in a month's time. Then I thought, I'll never get away with it. But it did cross my mind, let's be honest. Who amongst you have not gone, 7 days, brilliant, off work. Come on. I see that face. All right. Every single one of you going, I don't want to get the virus, but I don't mind if a few other people do, so at least I can get off my work. Jesus knows, all right? But it's the truth, isn't it? Maybe not. I've just been a wee bit naughty with you, all right? But when you draw near, Goshen, the place of being near to Jesus, all right, is a place where God promises, where I am, then no flies have a chance. And I'll do that so that the world sees there's a difference between my people and the people who don't know Jesus. Is he making a point? Does he want them to be sick? No. Don't misinterpret anything that I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we are not bound by the same standard. Why? Because we have unmerited favor in our life. God's grace is unmerited. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. All right? And we come into that place of safety and protection. That's where we're going to frame Psalm 91. I think the thing today is to go that I, as Jesus is, so am I. So is Jesus today seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, at a place of rest? This is the other thing I just want to speak to you. If you have felt upset and worried and find your head going a million miles an hour, okay, the root of the word to be well is to rest in Hebrew, okay? So it's not even when we get into this word, I want you to, you know, because it's a bit like me and the brethren when I used to get saved every week. You say, you know, God forgive me, 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 save me, save me, save me. You know, just used to say it over and over again. Like, the scripture is not like an incantation, you know, like throwing holy water around your house. We don't do that, do we? Okay, no, all right. But you know what I mean? Oh, we dose of holy water. There you go. Like, read Psalm 91. Read Psalm 91 and let faith rise in you, okay? And rest, because it's not like, oh, under the shadow of his wings, I'll be okay. Oh, right, let's go, but don't come near me, all right? Because actually, when you're at rest, and that's that piece of going, it's okay, I'm different. My kids are different. If they're in my house, under my authority, my kids are safe and protected. Amen, why? Because it's the authority of me in the house. And I'm not going to go, and read it 20 times a day. Well, I haven't read Psalm 91 in an hour. Better get back to it. Because the Lord will have forgotten that I only read it 20 minutes ago. But instead, to get up and go, right, I'm resting today. And the route to rest, then healing is on top of that. So if your heart is at fear, if your mind's been going crazy, actually, I just pray the Spirit of God would give you rest this week. The world is not at rest right now. The world is anxious. It's fearful. It's running at 100 miles an hour. We're beating each other up over stupid stuff. Right? You know, oh, everything. I look at it and I go, there is no rest here. But, you know, have a look at me. I have not failed away in the last week. All right? What are you? You laugh way too quickly there. Right? But I haven't failed away. And you're all looking pretty fit yourselves, let's be honest. Amen? Looking pretty well. We can rest. We can go, why? Because we're in a place where we're near to God. His presence is amongst us. And because he is good, he is faithful, no flies come near us. Why? Because we have been set inaccessibly high in the name of God, which is our strong tower. Amen. We should sing that song at the end, shall we? No, let's not. That would be so naff. All right? All right? I think that the devil right now will try to rob you, really, really try to rob you, and don't let him do it. Right. And some of you have a problem with me saying, well, God's people are different. Well, they are. I'm not going to make, any excuses for being blessed. Why would I? Come on. I wouldn't have any excuses for living under favor. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about Jesus and his love for me. Right? So let's not be all, oh, well, you know what. So shall we get into the word? Shall we get, this is my introduction. Holy smokes. And Psalm 91, what is that about anyway? So the thing is, right, so let's go for it now. So with every child, what I'm trying to say is for every child, I think the way I've thought about it this week, just to reframe in my thinking and let my heart settle, is every child has privileges. Isn't that right? The privileges in our house are many and bountiful for my kids. Not as many as what they would like to think, but they do, all right? And they have lots of privileges because they are part of my family. And God is a covenant God. He says in Psalm 89, 34, I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that has gone forth from my lips. I will not alter my covenant. So if he said he's going to protect you, he's not going to change his mind. If he said he's going to heal you, he hasn't changed his mind. I will not change. I won't go up and down. I won't be up and down like a fiddler's elbow, all right? I am not changing. And here's what he says at the start of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter, the secret place, okay, of hiding place of the Most High. So I want you to write these things down if you have them or just highlight them. He who dwells the Most High in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow. Shadow in the Bible is always about protection. So anytime you read shadow, it's about coming under something and being protected, all right? Always. In the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, this word, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I will say to the Lord, just as a small point, as an aside, you know, what's been coming out of your mouth this week when you talk to the Lord? What do you say about him? Do you talk about his love, his righteousness? Do you talk about his promises? Do you talk about his truth? Do you talk about his hope, his faithfulness? Do you talk about his word? Do you declare that? This is getting really loud. Is that just in my head? Okay. I thought, I'm preaching well. Even the angels are singing right now. Were you there that moment, gold dust, when you say it? Just kidding, right? And, that's annoyed the charismatics. And you know, say if the Lord, you know, just be careful what comes out of your mouth, because your mouth has creative power, is what I'm trying to say. So let's just be careful. But it says here that he who dwells in the shelter or the secret place of the Most High. Just let me explain what that means. Dwell means, in this translation, means to stay put, to stick, to rest, to not move. It means to actually lie down, right? Not a fleeting thing. Here's where God starts in the middle of all this stuff that's going on. Can I just really encourage you? He starts with position. He starts with someone who's in a place of relationship with him. And what he says is, he who dwells, rests, lies down. Okay? Do you get that? So dwelling is not like sitting there. It's about... He who does that is in a place of relationship with Christ. And he says you're seated with Christ. That's your position. So he always starts off with not what is going on in the world, but who is Jesus and where are you in relation to Jesus? Do you get that? He is our great North Star. He is our, to quote Phil, external point of reference. He is where the world is looking everywhere for somewhere to anchor. And where does God start? Here, he says, if you're in the secret place, okay? The secret place, I'm going to explain it right now because actually you find it in Genesis what the secret place actually means. But what he says is this. Let me read it actually to you in Ephesians 2. But being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he has showed us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right? So where he starts, what that means is that everything that is in Jesus today, right, and the authority that has been given to Jesus is given to you. That is your... Now, the reality is we live in a world where there's virus and everything else, but there is a greater reality, and that is the spiritual reality, the bit that is eternal. And that eternal bit right now, you might be sitting on your backside here in East Belfast, but spiritually speaking, the eternal bit of you is seated with Christ. Amen. And because that's how we can say, as he is, so are we. So do you think... Number one, do you think Jesus was surprised by the coronavirus? No. I think he went, oh, flipping, Lord, didn't see that one. Holy Spirit, sleeping on the job again. All right? What were the angels doing? All right? Do you think, honestly, I'm trying to be a bit facetious with you, but do you honestly think that God today, the one who holds it, is surprised by this stuff? Do you think he's on the back foot this morning? Do you think he's sick this morning? So as Jesus is, I say, as he is, so am I. Why? Because my spiritual condition, my spiritual location, my spiritual set, if you like, is at the right hand, in the place of authority. So therefore, I am over, I am not under. As he is, so am I. Now, what happens here is there are three names of God mentioned just at the very start, and they give us a different view. So what he does, this is where he positions God over everything. Some of us need to get Jesus back into his place this week, because if not, you're going to have a bad week, all right? Because I have a feeling that they're just going to ramp up the fear, Do you get me? More cases, more deaths, more people. Let me tell you, I think we're in for a few weeks of things being ramped up. So what does God say? Well, when you come, you want to be in a place of safety and protection. It starts with me, and he gives three names. He says this. He says, the Most High is Elohim, the Most High God. Not the kind of low God, not the in-between God, but he says, let's start with, I am God Most High. That means there is none higher than me. There is not a virus, a disease, a sickness, a condition. There is not a threat which, when it comes to me, is higher or greater than me. I am the starting point, the end point, and the finish point. So he says, this is your point of reference. Let's start with who is the one Most High. He says, I am the, it actually means the Most High God or supreme in position. Let me read it again for you. If we go back, he who dwells in the shelter, the secret place, the most hiding place of God, the Most High Elohim, supreme in position, right? You get that one? Will abide in the shadow then of the Almighty. Almighty is El Shaddai, right? So El Shaddai means absolute in power. Why did I go all English right there? Power. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? There's a wee moment. Flipping Google Homes. It's Google. We've Googled all over our house right now, and they don't understand us. So I say everything like power. Sorry about that. That's really naff. I went all Graham McDowell there, all Mid-Atlantic, right? He's mighty in power. Not better. All right. El Shaddai, right, power. All right. So funny. I need to keep reading this. I will abide. I will stay. I will rest. Under the protection, I'm just rewording this for you. I will rest under the protection, right, of the one who is absolute in power. All right, okay. I will say, not, oh my God, isn't this terrible? Isn't this shocking? Isn't this terrible? Oh my word, you know. I will say to the, of the Lord, right, and the Lord here is salvation, Yahweh. So he starts with God supreme, Elohim, God absolute in power is the God who saves. Three names of God in one sentence. Those names are your strong tower. All right? That's the grace of God right there. And he says this. He said, I will say of salvation, I've already explained it, to be delivered. So imagine having this God with you, absolute, supreme in position, absolute in power, and not just willing, but able to lift you to inaccessibility and safety. That's the start. Now, I think we could just plonk it right there and go, how are we doing with that? Let's just get a whole different sense of perspective on what's going on right now. You're God's people. You're not in the world. You're seated today in heavenly places. Your spiritual condition is just the same as Christ himself, who has not got one jot of sickness in his body. As he is, so are you. Because you're good? No, because he's a God of grace. And he says, I will make a difference. Now, he wants all men to come to know the salvation of the Lord, not just forgiven from sin, but delivered into safety. That's the heart of God for everybody. Everybody, all right? We're not doing the spiritual equivalent of Nick and Bog Roll here and going, well, I've got mine. Up yours. You know what I mean? See this week. Whatever. The toilet roll is such a penalty kick for preachers right now, I tell you. I have so many things that I'm not saying because it's just a great time to be a preacher. But what I'm saying is we're not doing the spiritual equivalent of I'm all right, Jack. Let's be really careful about that. But we have to be ready this week to go out into this world to say, all right, Elohim Shaddai Yahweh. My God is supreme over everything. He's absolutely powerful and he will deliver. All right, be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in your heart. All right, amen. Yes. And so, is this okay? I kind of feel like I've lost complete track of my notes and everywhere I'm going, but hopefully there's something landing with you. Imagine having a God, that God with you every day. And this is why it matters, why you come to church, all right? This is why we say, come to church and be encouraged this morning. I'm putting a deposit in you this morning of God's goodness and God's grace that will hold you through this week. Do you get that? It's funny that he said the word here of refuge. It's like a bunker, all right? Well, I remember being in, the God is my refuge. I remember being in Normandy in France, and they have these pillboxes, which are there from the Second World War. And what whether it was on the Allied side or the German side or whatever, what would happen is the soldiers would get down into this bunker, and it was buried quite deep, right? And they were called refuges. And what would happen is chaos, hell, and war could be breaking out above them, and they were safe tucked in the middle of it, all right? And what did they have to do in there? They didn't have to stand and hold the walls up. They just had to rest and trust that that which was around them would protect them. In the middle of war, I remember being quite struck by that. I remember thinking, flip, all they had to do, they just had to sit here. That was a position of trust, right? To go chaos above on the beaches, but here I'm safe, right? That's what faith is for you this week, to go chaos, but here I'm safe. Amen. Let me just go very quickly because I want to tell you what the secret place is, right? So he who dwells in the shadow of the, dwells in the shelter or in the secret place, all right? The hiding place of God supreme, God all-powerful, and God who saves. What is this? Now, we go back to Genesis, because this is what I love about the gospel of grace, is the secret place in Psalm 91 is actually referenced through Genesis. And the first time the Holy Spirit reveals this, actually, when you look at the law of, what's called the law of first mention. So anytime something is mentioned in Scripture for the first time, it's really, really important, all right? Because it matters, there's a place of significance. So let's look at these names of God that God reveals at the start of Psalm 91, right? And then look at when they're first mentioned. Does that make sense? So in Genesis 14, Elohim is whenever Abraham meets Melchizedek. Now we know that Melchizedek was a priest in the line, in the order of Jesus. I've told you this before. He's a type of Jesus. Melchizedek means the king of righteousness. And King of Salem, the old word for Jerusalem, meaning peace, right? So that's Genesis 14. So that's Elohim, Almighty God, Genesis 17. So you got Genesis 14 and Genesis 17, all right? So what we have here is bookending these two revelations of who God is, we look in the center to find out what the secret place is because it's hidden between the two. Now, in Genesis 15:5, see, God brings Abraham out and he shows him the stars in the sky. And he brought him outside. Let me just read it for you. He looked towards heaven. And he says, number the stars, if you're able to number them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted to him as righteousness. So in Genesis 15, what we see is the first time that there is faith righteousness. All right? Not our work, but God's work. All right? God declares that there will be blessing and fruitfulness and future over Abraham, and he is declared righteous by what? What he did, no, what he believed, Genesis 15. So Genesis 14, we see Elohim, hard to say, okay? We have Shaddai in 17, and this is what happens in between. In Genesis 16, what you see is God reveals to Abraham that he will be fruitful. He actually comes out and he says, look at the stars. Actually, there's some brilliant teaching there that if you want, Pastor Prince does a brilliant teaching on how, when you look at the original language, it's tell the story of the stars, all right? So not count the stars, but tell the story of the stars. Jesus, the gospel revealed, because how else would Abraham have believed? He looks into the stars, he sees the story, astrology, all that sort of stuff today, would they have twisted that? He goes, tell the story of the stars, Abraham. And Abraham looks, he believes as right, and he becomes righteous. But what happens in Genesis 16 is you see that, and I preached this a couple of weeks ago, Galatians 4, 21 to 30, he tries to get the promise of God through his own strength, right? And he fails. And so you have this thing of God's promise in your life. So I've spoken to you today about God's promise over your life, right? And with this, I'm going to finish. I've spoken to you today about God's promise over your life. You will not get it by striving, earning, performing. You won't get it because you earn it. You'll get it because he loves you. Do you get that? Get up every morning and say, thank you that you love me. But Abraham, even though he received, the Lord pointed him to the stars and said, have a look at the story, and he receives by faith the promise. He still tries to do it under his own steam. And he gets into trouble. Now what happens here, right, is that when you look then at the names that in Psalm 91 and see where they're revealed for the first time and look what goes on in the middle, right? What you see there is that the secret place, he who stays in the secret place, all right, is this. It simply means to stay and to rest. Rest. Not, don't move from the place where you're righteous today by faith and that you're covered by grace and not the law. Isn't that lovely? I'm going real quick. I wish I had more time to explain it. So he who dwells in the secret place, all right, righteous by the grace of God, He who stays in that place, okay, and is covered by God's grace and does not try to earn, but simply receives and rests, in that place you find safety and protection. Does that make sense? Isn't that a cool piece of scripture right there? So when we go back to Psalm 91, that's what it means. So it doesn't mean that you, because the world could take that and go, oh, that's isolation, brother. You're in the secret place. We're all going to live under our stairs. You know, pass crackers underneath. You know what I mean? Come to the door in a hazmat suit. I'd love to do that just for the crack. You'd have so much fun with people right now, couldn't you? That's right. It would be just a gag. Just be, my head goes everywhere with it. All right. But he who dwells in the secret place receives everything, every bit of faith by righteousness, and also stays in that place where they do not try to obtain by their performance that which is provided by grace. In that place, you find salvation.